Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Hebrews chapter number 11 is a very interesting chapter in our Bible. Hebrews chapter number 11 really walks us down through just about the entirety of the Old Testament is what it does. It walks us through some of those great heroes of the faith. A matter of fact, Hebrews chapter number 11 is known by so many as being what we consider the hall of faith in our Bible. Whenever you read chapter number 11, you'll find out that there's 17 names that is mentioned. Now, there's more than 17 names in Hebrews 11, but there's 17 names that is mentioned that is considered and is applauded for having great faith in the Word of God. Also in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's 22 times that the word faith is mentioned. Matter of fact, that great verse that we pull so many times, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We find it right here. I want to look at one of these characters this morning and preach to you on this thought, pleasing God. Pleasing God. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said this, in verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Now look in verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. To please who? To please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we love you this morning. Father, I pray that you help us today. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the service. I pray, God, that we would get understanding from your word. And God, I pray that if there'd be one here lost, God, that you'd save them today. Lord, one here out of your will. I pray, God, that you'd bring them back close to you again today. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Know with me what your Bible said in the latter portion of verse number 5. It said this, for before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Now, I want to preach to you a little bit this morning on that thought right there of pleasing God in the new year. Pleasing God in the new year. Now, I understand that we're in the 10th day of the first month of the year, and a lot of people has made New Year's resolutions and you've already stopped. Anybody all right there? Y'all understand, is everybody awake now? Y'all understand what I'm saying? We make these great New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times we may make it to January the 10th, but sometimes we don't even make it to January the 10th. Matter of fact, some people just tries to do things for 21 days, but by the fourth day of the month, a lot of times, Brother Bailey, they end up messing that up. There's a long story behind that. Everybody knows that a lot of people's doing a 21-day fast right now from different things. And my wife and my oldest daughter chose one of the things on their fast to be sweets, not to have any sweets for 21 days. She's made me move out for 21 days. But anyway, I'm just picking right there. But for 20, a lot of y'all know that. But anyway, for 21 days, well, Brother Bailey and Miss Rachel, I didn't know this, but they had joined in on that 21-day thing. That was one of the things that they was fasting from. And last Sunday afternoon, Brother Bailey and Miss Rachel had come to Bryson City with us. And last Sunday afternoon, we had this great big meal fixed. And when I say great big meal, Miss Donna Ball had a great big meal fixed. I mean, they was everything. It was better than homecoming at a church that runs 1,000. Man, it was, if you could name it, it was on the bar that day. Now, it was the right kind of bar, but it was on the bar. And we went around and I got my food. And I didn't do sweets. That was not on my fast. So whenever I got done, Miss Donna opened the top, Brother Randy, to a cake holder. And it had a fresh, I mean, just made that morning fresh German homemade chocolate cake. Is everybody awake? Anybody else fasting from sweets? Great big German chocolate cake. And then she also had some what I call preacher cookies, no bake chocolate oatmeal cookies. And she had cheesecake. Well, I was like, praise God, that's not on my fast. And Brother Will, I was fixing to dive in on it. Well, I looked, and whenever I looked, my wife had a piece of that cake. And I thought, well, you know, we're on like day 4 or day 3 of this fast, and she's already kicked it. And her and Miss Rachel and Madeline was over here at the side talking. And I thought, well, I bet they didn't pray about what they're talking about. And this was the conclusion that they came to. It would absolutely kill Miss Donna if we didn't eat some of her cake. They did not want to hurt her feelings at all. Well, I looked, and Miss Rachel come over there, and she had a slab of that German chocolate cake. And she had 2 of them preacher cookies and a piece of cheesecake. She set it down, Brother Will, and you can just imagine Bailey's face whenever she sets it down. Bailey's sitting at the head of that table like this. You that knows Brother Kenny Ball, he's about this big and about this tall, and he's sitting at the other side of the head of the table. It's like him and Brother Bailey's having a face-off, and Brother Kenny eat as much as he did. And she said, here, Bailey. Bailey looked at her, and he said, woman? He didn't whisper either like she was. You have absolutely no willpower at all. She said, but Bailey, we don't need to hurt her feelings. He said, the Lord's liable to wreck us before we get out of here if I eat any of that. Before it was all said and done, he was swallowing cheesecake. What I'm saying is this, a lot of times, and here was the pact that they made between each other, that they're going to do an extra day. So they've got to go to the 22nd day of January instead of the 21st day. We make these things. We say we'll do these things. We say, boy, in this new year, I'm going to please God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But how can we stick to that? How can we stick? Can I say this to you this morning? I want to please God in 2021. Everything that I do, everything that I say, every action that I have, I want it to be pleasing to God. Enoch was a man that had this testimony that he pleased God, that he pleased God. If he was a man that pleased God, then I think if we'll take some time this morning and look at his life, we can see how we can please God. There's sometimes you don't say amen, and here's one of them, okay? I'm not that smart of a guy on some things. And you ain't supposed to laugh either. I mean, do I really need to back up and start telling tales about you? But anyway, whenever we was doing this remodel, I knew that the platform wasn't going to look right if there was nothing right there. Now, I didn't have a clue how to make that look the way that it did right there. But boy, don't it look good. It really does. It's oak. It looks good. It's got them pretty pickets in there. Man, it looks great. So you know what I did? I found somebody that did know how to do that. He's here this morning, Brother Lloyd, back there. And he and I was here. I shot the nails. He let me shoot the nails down in that one board. Built that. But I wanted to find somebody that knew exactly what they was doing. And then I wanted to watch them and study how they done it, so if I ever needed to do it, I could do it. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? You say, preacher, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. If we want to live pleasing to God, why don't we find somebody that has lived pleasing to God? Why don't we find somebody that does know how to do it? And then let's follow in their footsteps. Let's study their life. Let's see how they done it so we can do it. Let me show you 3 things about Enoch. Number 1 this morning, the who in his pleasing. The who in his pleasing. Note what your Bible said, but by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. The Bible said this, for before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The who in his pleasing. Who did he please? The Bible said this, he pleased God. He pleased God. If we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God, then we must please God. Then we must please God. This is something that I dare say that we don't see much of today. We want to live our lives for everybody else to be pleased in them. When, matter of fact, a few months ago, I was praying and I was trying to figure out the direction for the church and what to do and when to do and how to do and when to start Sunday school back. And if you're here tonight, I'll talk to you about every bit of that tonight, what our plan is. And we've already got a date set that unless God changes it, that we're just going back to church. Amen. And we'll talk about that tonight. But I was talking to four or five other preachers, and this one said do this, and this one said do that, and this one said do something else. And I found myself at wit's end trying to listen to everybody else. And thought, man, if I do it the way they're doing it, then it'll be all right. And if I do it the way this one's doing it, then it'll be all right. Hear me and hear me well. It's not about what everybody else thinks. It's not about everybody else being happy. There's one person you should be concerned with pleasing in your life. Besides your wife, you should be concerned in pleasing God. Pleasing God. You say, why'd you put your wife in there? Because you that's married understands. Pleasing God. You say, well, you know what? Preacher, if I do that, such and such will think that I'm a fanatic. Well, I've been called worse. But preacher, if I really just lock, stock, and barrel, sell out to serve God and do what God wants for my life, then they'll say I'm crazy. I've been called a whole lot worse. And at the end of the day, does it really even matter? Now, I understand that we should be concerned about our testimony. And I understand we should live our life as holy as we can. But when it comes to this world, what really matters is if we're pleasing God. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Well, who was it that he pleased? He pleased God. He kept his eyes focused on God. He lived his life according to the word of God and the way of God and the will of God, and God blessed him in his life. He was pleasing to God. He was pleasing to God. Who we are wanting to please will have a major effect on our character and our behavior. Who we're wanting to please. Let me tell you the reason young people do the things that they do sometimes, because of who they're wanting to please. Let me tell you the reason. I hope it don't get quite right here, but let me tell you the reason a teenager loses their virginity today is because who they're wanting to please. Has nothing to do with pleasing God. Has nothing to do with the will of God. Let me tell you the reason adults do some of the things that they do today, because who they're wanting to please. Amen. All of us today. He lived his life pleasing to God. He lived his life. I want to ask you this question this morning before I move. Is your life pleasing to God? When you inventory you, when you refocus on you, is it pleasing to the Master this morning? Number one, I see the who in the pleasing. Number two, I move quickly today. Number two, I see the when in the pleasing. I see the when. And I really want to settle down right here for just a second. The when in the pleasing. Note with me again in verse number 5, our text first. For before his translation, he had this testimony. For before his translation, the when in his pleasing. When was he pleasing to God? Before he died. But are you hearing me? Before he died. A lot of people was interested in a deathbed profession. They want to live their life any way they want to live it. They want to do anything they want to do. They want to live it up in the world's eyes. And whenever they get to their deathbed, they want to lay their head down on their deathbed and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take," and think everything's going to be all right. You see the when in his pleasing? The when in his pleasing was before he died. Before he got too old to do anything. I don't mean that ugly. I'm not belittling old age. We're all going to be there one day. Somebody say amen right there. We're all headed there. There's going to come a day when we can't do what we once did. That's just life, okay? Now somebody help me. That's just life. So why do I want to wait till I'm 80 years old and then start trying to do something for God? I want to show you something. Look what your Bible said. Go to Genesis chapter number 5. Can I show you something right here real quick? Genesis chapter number 5. Bible said in verse number 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah." Now, who, if you're not ashamed of it, who's in here 65 years old? Anybody in here 65? All right, we've got a couple. Now, Miss Linda, I want to ask you a question. Could you imagine having a child at 65 years old? Brother Jerry, could you imagine becoming daddy again at 65? He said, "I don't even want to think about it." 65 years old. It's what our Bible just said. Now, look at the next verse. "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters." I understand that Enoch was 65 years old when he began to walk with God, but you also got to understand the day that we're talking about. They lived a whole lot longer. For 300 years, for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. For 300 years, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Hear me, church, and hear me well. We're not promised our next breath. We're not promised our next day. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what the morrow may bring." The Bible says, "For what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." If we've ever done anything for God, if we've ever pleased God, if we've ever lived our life according to the will of God and the word of God for our life, we better do it right now. The when in his pleasing. He done it while he was alive. He done it while he could. You said, Preacher, I can't stand up and sing. Can you pray? Anybody can pray. You said, "Preacher, I can't teach a class. Preacher, I can't be a preacher." Can you say, watch this? Amen. Everybody in here, whether you do or not, can. Are you with me this morning? One thing, we had that early service at 9, and it was a mask-only service. Had a great time. I'm telling you, we had a great time. I had a good number, saw some people that we hadn't seen in a while. Man, it was great. We really did. But one thing that I didn't like about it is I couldn't see facial expressions. And I watch that a lot. I watch it. Some of y'all, you ought to watch some of y'all's. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, here's some of y'all's facial expression. I mean, some of you done got to the slobber sleep sometimes. But I couldn't see facial expressions. But here's what I was saying to them. Boy, if there's ever been a day that we put our whole heart into the service of God, that we take everything within us and pour it out before God, it's right now. It's right now. The when in the pleasing. It was before he was translated. We've often heard this statement. I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done," but the only way is to have done well. How is your service to God? I said this in the early service, and I say it to my shame. I've done the least in 2020 for God than I ever have. Probably in 2020, not probably, I know I preached less in 2020 than I have in 20 years. Now, I understand some of that was due to COVID. But what we allowed to happen in 2020 is we allowed a society to shut us down in serving God. We did. I did. Others did. If you was real honest within yourself, you're not as quick to walk up to somebody and hand them a gospel tract now because you're afraid of what they're going to say. You're afraid of passing something on. Now, I'm just going to say this. It's still got a 99% survival rate. We're afraid of passing something on. We're afraid of what somebody will say. And we have allowed a pandemic to shut us down. I prayed the beginning of this year, and number one, I asked God to forgive me for that. I asked God to forgive me for dropping the ball in 2020 the way I did. And I asked God if there would be any way in His grace and in His mercy, if He would allow us to live through 2021 so I could make up what I didn't do in 2020. The when. He pleased God before He died. Watch this. Not only the who in the pleasing, the when in the pleasing. Let me show you one more thing. The where in the pleasing. The where in the pleasing. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Let's take just a minute and think about the day that Enoch was living in. We think what's happening in the world today is new, but it's really not. It's really not. Battle over a throne, that's nothing new. That's nothing new. What's happening between Trump and Biden, that's nothing new. If you read the story, and I'm not comparing either one of these to these two men of the Bible's character and integrity. I'm just saying, have you not read the story of David and Saul lately? Absolutely. What is happening in our world today is not something new. This coronavirus, the virus is new, but a pandemic is not something new. It's not something new. Matter of fact, if you'll go back and study every election year just about it, it seems that something comes up. I don't know if there's anything to that or not, I'm just saying. I'm not belittling it. I had it. I laid in the bed 8 days with it. My dad was in the hospital 8 days with it. I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying. So when we think about our day, we think, well, I can't serve God because of the day it is. I can't speak freely for God because of the day it is. The day that Enoch was living in is pre-flood days. It's before the flood. It's before God destroys the earth. So can I say this about the where? It was in one of the most wicked and vile times in the history of the world. In the history of the world. Can I say something else? When we think about this, you can come start playing softly, but when we think about this, and we think about when Enoch was living, Enoch did not have this. Enoch didn't have the Word of God. Enoch, Mama's taking the words out of my mouth. I'm going to have to get the bail out on her again. Did not have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Because of Calvary and the ascension, now we have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. We have the Comforter to help us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. Enoch had none of that. Enoch was living in a perverse and a vile generation that God ends up in just a chapter or two from now destroying. Destroying. Why? Because of their wickedness. Now, I said all that to say this. We have 66 books. We have a basic instructions before leaving earth manual right here. We have a Bible to read. We have a church to go to. We have Christians to fellowship with. The Bible said that his day, the thought of man was evil continuously. It was evil continuously. Brothers has already killed brothers. Adultery, fornication, all that's already happening. And if he lived for God in that day, we have no excuse for not living for God in our day. We don't have one. Preacher, it's just too hard. Well, suck it up. Anything that's easy usually isn't worth much anyway. I have a great marriage today. Have the greatest marriage of anybody. But it comes with flying pots, swung frying pans. I'm just picking. Maybe not that bad, but it's been borderline before. What I'm saying is this. It's worth fighting for. And me living for God, yeah, it's tough every once in a while. But the last time I checked, there wasn't nobody taking us to jail for it like they did Paul. Last time I checked, there was nobody kicking our doors down and arresting all of us for worshiping together. We have a missionary that we support, and of course, I'm not going to say no names or anything like that because we're live feeding, but we've got a missionary that we support that's in an undisclosed location. And right now, if they found him, it would be his life and his wife's life. I talked to him this past week again. The hunt is on, and if they find him, they'll kill him and his wife for preaching the gospel. So before you bellyache too much. Yeah, man, Brother Jonathan. Before we say it's hard too much, I'm as guilty as anybody for saying it's hard right now. Very few others sitting here stood in 30 degree weather and tried to preach outside. I'm probably guilty more than anybody sitting here for saying it's hard right now. I've probably said it more than anybody. It ain't hard. It's just what we choose to make of it. The where did he please God? In his day. The when? While he was still alive. The who? It was God. You know what we need to do, church, in this new year? We need to please him. We need to please him. We need to please him. If I know anything, I know the Lord is coming back. And it might be before we go out them doors. So if we've ever done anything, may we get busy right now doing it.